first thing that I hope the world can learn from the Cambodia is smiling to each other. Be smiling, because if you're looking to each other seriously, you might not happy. It's not good. So smiling is the best way to share the happiness to each other.
Welcome to another episode of Gone With The Bar. And I'm here with Chika Ong.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm Chika.
Now, Chika and I are currently sitting in Battambang,
yes,
which is the second largest city,
yes,
in Cambodia.
Cambodia.
And we're sitting on a rooftop bar. You might hear some tuk-tuks going past, maybe some music in the background. How hot is it today?
Today is going good for me.
Yeah?
Because I got the tourist to make a tour with me, like the bike tour. And this afternoon I got a small job. Bring my friend and nice guy to visit the circus.
Yeah.
Just get back and relax. Talking
good
about some story relative to my life and Cambodia as well.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. So let's start with you.
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk a little bit about Cambodia in a minute,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
but we usually start with the story of the guest. And I think your story is really interesting.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
so tell us, where were you born? And what were the first couple of things that happened in your life, the main events?
Okay, so I was born in Thai border. And in 1993, I moved back to...
You're so young.
I
wish I was so young.
I moved back to Battambang when I was 3 years old.
And yes, and for those who don't know, Battambang is on the western side of
Cambodia.
Cambodia.
Yeah, the same border of Thailand.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And you came back to Cambodia. Do you speak Thai?
No. Because it's just a little guy who was born Thai border. After UN come to help the refugee people to move back to Cambodia. So a lot of people come, like my family come to live in Battambang, because Battambang is their hometown.
Ah, so yeah, why did they leave Battambang and before?
Before they also live in Battambang.
Ah,
that's why after the war we get back.
I see. So you left because of the war?
Yes.
Okay. And do you want to explain quickly to people what the war was?
The war with that we call a civil war, we call it Khmer Rouge genocide. Yes. People been killed, dropped dead during the working, cause starvation, they get sick, or illness, something like this.
And that regime of Pol Pot,
yes,
the Khmer Rouge,
yeah, Khmer Rouge,
it only lasted 3 years, but then a long time
afterwards
as well,
yeah,
right?
Pol Pot just lost the power about 4 years, but about 20 years along the border in Thailand, because it's a big like jungle where was the Pol Pot build up the army.
Yeah, the guerrilla warfare.
Yes.
Yeah. And that didn't really stop until maybe 97, 98?
Yeah, yeah.
The
Pol Pot died in 1998. So a lot of the lower Pol Pot officer come to join with the government easily, because they have known each other before. They used to work with each other. Yeah.
That's a crazy, sad situation.
Yeah. But the government, some of them, they break themselves to depend Vietnam come to recruit, like liberate Cambodia from the Khmer Rouge. Because they know about the politics of the Khmer Rouge, did something crazy to the people.
So how do you feel towards the Vietnamese people?
For me, I cannot say good or bad, because some people they say that because of the Vietnam they have a second life, and some people they think that because of the Vietnam, that's why we got a war in Cambodia for a long time. Because
then,
before the war in Cambodia, it was civil war in Vietnam, South supported by America, not supported by Russia and China. And many years later, it flew into Cambodia.
Yeah, there was a lot of bombing from the
United States
in Cambodia,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because the Viet Cong come to stay along the border to Vietnam.
So Cambodia has been in the middle of a lot of conflict, right?
Yes.
Sometimes Thailand, sometimes Vietnam, sometimes America, China, Russia.
Yeah, because we are a poor country, so the American country want to control Cambodia.
Yeah. So you, can you remember the end of the Khmer Rouge, or were you too young?
Yes, I think I'm just a little boy, so I'm don't remember well about it as well.
But you remember that it was hard for people?
Yes, because I heard a lot from my dad, my mom, my parents, my grandparents, and all people, especially my teachers.
So talk about that. So where did you, what was your schooling in Cambodia when you came back to Pathum Bong?
Oh.
Did you go to a school or?
Yes. I go to government school.
Yeah.
Like when I was 7 years old, I get grade one until I'm 19 years old, like I finish high school. So that is time that I know that I had to find a good part of my life, because I need the money, I need a job. So I'm not a young boy like before. That's why I need to leave from Cambodia to live in Thailand nearly a year and save a lot of money, get back to Cambodia, buy a motorbike. Before, okay. I was a motorbike driver, not tuk-tuk.
Ah,
you
I
are
see.
Two people, you had to take two motorbikes, not one.
Ah, so you went to Thailand and worked for a year?
Yes.
So because Thailand's economy is a larger, is that right?
You get more money, it's about $15 per day. Just, and for eating, you know, it's very cheap, about a dollar, you can eat everything.
Yeah. And so people, a lot of Cambodian people go to Thailand for work.
I think about 1 million people going there to work.
Wow. Okay. And tell me about English and about the monks.
Yeah, okay.
I think this is really interesting.
Yes, yeah.
Because you didn't learn English in state school.
No. It's too much money. I cannot afford for that. Before the beginning, when I came back to my hometown, I just get a small job from tourists because I didn't speak English well. So I got part time to learn English from the temple. I'm my teachers. It's monk.
So you went to the Buddhist temple?
Yes.
And were the classes free or did you pay?
Oh, donation. How much you want to donate up to you, like $5, $10 per month, something like this.
And so the monks teach people English?
Yes, and it's a bit crowded, but we really enjoy that because everybody have a lot of questions to ask the teachers.
So why English?
Because English is a language. The second international language for communication. Mm. And second, English, I think after Chinese, is English. Yeah. It's like a spoken language in the world. Everybody need English. And as a modern technology, everything known down by English language.
Yeah. So you went to the monastery and you learned English to the level you're at now?
Yeah. Now I'm learning in the university because I think I got more money than before. Now I got tuk-tuk, so easily for me to sell.
And what is a tuk-tuk for people who don't know?
Tuk-tuk just, you got a motorbike and connected with the tail like this, small truck.
a carriage.
Two side of seat.
Yeah.
For the people can sit 4 or 5 or 6 if they are small. And it's very fun and safety for me and for the customer also. Yeah. For the tourists, they like tuk-tuk much better than motorbike because they can relax, they can have some photo on.
That's safe.
The way.
And it's comfortable,
traveling.
Right? Yeah. So you went to Thailand after you learned English, you got your motorbike, you came back, then you could start to run tours. And for me, we're currently sitting in the Royal Hotel, and it's a really good hotel.
Yes, thank you very much.
And I know this because we did some research on the internet, and it came up really high on booking.com, and has amazing reviews, and a good family runs it. And then through being there, we immediately met you, and we've been out for a number of tours, which has been really great.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about Pathum Bong.
Oh.
I knew about Angkor Wat.
Okay.
I knew it was in Cambodia.
Okay.
I didn't know about the Khmer people or the empire. Do you want to just talk a little bit about the Khmer Empire?
Khmer Empire, so like the ethnic people. You want to know about the ethnic people?
The empire and the group and the just a little bit history for people.
Okay, so for Badenbrong people, most of them are farmers. Yeah, everybody really enjoy with the job as a farmer because Badenbrong is the main leading rice producing.
Rice production.
That's why Thailand want to control, want to hold the powers in Badenbrong as well, like Siem Reap.
But before Thailand, and I know this city was actually Khmer, and Khmer, then Cambodian, and then
Khmer is the name of the people of Cambodia.
And they had an empire, right?
Yeah, we got empire. Khmer is really strong; they can build everything before, but they got experience of the civil war, so everybody looked very big.
Yeah.
But for the people still remember what they have done before, like getting Goa Temple and got a big space for the land.
And what is Angkor Wat?
Angkor Wat is the ancient building making by the hand during about 1,000 years ago, and still very famous in the world. A lot of people come to visit Angkor Wat.
And it was the middle of a city, wasn't it?
Yes.
Of 1 million people, right?
Yes.
Which was the biggest city in the world at the time.
Yes.
And do you know how big London was at that time? 50,000 people.
50,000 people.
So that's how important the Khmer Empire was. And what countries did it cover at that time? If you look at the modern world, what countries were Khmer territory?
For the people work. They focus on agricultural only.
And they had Cambodia, and was Thailand part of the empire?
Yeah.
And
we call at the time during Khmer period we call Siem, not Thai.
Yeah.
Siem, and Vietnam we call Dai Viet.
Dai Viet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we got a small part of Muslim country between in the middle of the Vietnam currently. Country currently, Muslim we call Cham.
Muslim.
A lot of people living in Cambodia, and about at least 30,000 people living in Badenbrong.
We went to a Muslim community today.
The same mosque as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what really amazed me is that as we were walking along, some of the houses didn't have the little Buddhist temple out the front. And then some did. And then we realized that the ones that have the little Buddhist statue they are Buddhist families in the Muslim area. Those that didn't have it were Muslim families, and that people actually lived together
in peace lives.
So Cambodia is
we are people, we are human, we have to love each other. Everybody has right to respect what they want. Important, they have to follow the government rule.
Yeah.
I can't be a Christianist, I can't be a Muslim guy, but I have to follow the government rule, not make violence, not hit each other.
And you are Buddhist?
Yes, absolutely.
And what does Buddhism mean to you?
The Buddhism means a religion of the people living in Cambodia, also in Thailand as well. And the Buddhism, much of them believe on karma. That's why they like to share everything to each other.
And that is really standout in Cambodia.
Yeah,
the way that people smile with each other. Absolutely. The way that
Is the big gift that the Buddhists have to have to each other. Yeah. Because even though in the Buddha story, like example, during that time, Buddha walking along the villages to get some gift from the people, and there were two beggars smiling to the Buddha and said something, sorry, I don't have everything for you because I'm so poor. But the Buddha said, you already given me a big gift and you're not poor. And the beggar wondered and asked Buddha, what's that? Buddha said, the big gift from you is your smiling.
That's amazing.
Yes. And you're not poor. Why you said you are poor? If someone take a lot of gold or money to change your eye, your nose, your hair, your arm, your feet, will you change? Would you like to change with that? You might not change 100%. So your body is more value than that thing. So you are not poor if you use it to make the money.
That something I really notice. And in each different country that I visited, I really notice the people. And I look at the way that they live.
Yeah.
And I see that in the way that people are towards each other. That on this street right now, probably 50, 60, 100 vehicles have gone past below us just while we've been talking. Compared to England or to New Zealand or to Australia or to America, that is a lot of vehicles on a small street.
Yes.
But we've heard no beeping. Nobody is shouting.
Yeah.
We go down the road in your tuk-tuk and there's motorbikes and cars and trucks and people and bicycles everywhere.
Yeah.
But somehow it all works. And when somebody gets in the way, you just look at each other and you smile.
Yes.
And that is magic.
Yes.
I think that the rest of the world could learn a lot from that.
Yes, even though the church were living in the countryside, when they see the tourists travel across their home, they're gonna say hello.
That's right.
Like me, when I was a little, I don't know what does it mean. Just say hello. What's your name? How are you? It's because I'm really happy to see this brain guy come from another country.
Yeah.
Yes.
And tell me what you did at university.
What I do at the university.
Mm.
For me, I just want to improve my English speaking language relative with my education because I want to have a bachelor degree.
Mm-hmm. And what is your major? What is your focus?
I study English literature.
English literature.
Yes, year two.
And you wouldn't think that when you take a tour that your tour guide is studying English literature.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So why English literature?
Because in my dream, I want to be a tour guide or tour leader. And I think if I get old, when I realized I was 60 years old, I want to be an English teacher as well. Because that is a good job for me when I getting old. Because I don't need to use power much on working, just using my knowledge and sharing the idea to the student and support them to do something for the country as well.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
And one more thing, why I want to be a tour leader, like tour guide, because I was living in the poor village. At the time, I saw a guy who led the tour. A lot of tourists come to share the group, pants, cake, sugar, everything. It make me feeling excited and very happy in my life at the time because I have never seen it before.
So the tour were that because of the tour leader bringing the tour group to the village.
Yeah, because the tourists want to see the local people life, how they live.
Of course, the real Cambodian.
Yeah. Relatively the real Cambodian people and culture. So after I get all the thing, and I dream that when I grow up, I will learn English. I will become a good leader in one day. So because besides of I have a good job, I can help the people living in the poor villages also. Like they used to do like this to me also.
There's a lot of kindness to other people from people who don't have very much.
Yes.
I really noticed that.
Yeah.
And we sat with a young Buddhist monk today and he is literally half my age and more than twice as wise. And just sitting with him, if anybody listening hasn't ever sat with someone who is either practicing seriously, maybe ordained, or maybe a Buddhist monk, or maybe seen a lama, or something like that, then the experience is just so peaceful.
Just peaceful.
They just change a room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we talked to him about what, I asked him what he thought the people of Cambodia need, and he said, very similar to you, education.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it feels like Cambodia is rebuilding, and that the country is being having a new life. What do you think people need in Cambodia to live a better life as a country?
First, for the whole country, first the people need peace. And second, the people need job to do. And second, the people need entertainment, or like freedom for the holiday when they get off from the job. Yeah.
People do quite long hours, don't they? People work long days.
Yes,
yeah, you work long days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What time do you start in the morning normally?
I get up normally in like 6:30. I come to work like 7 o'clock until like 10 or 11, something like this. And I work more than 10 hours per day because we need a job. We need money to support the family.
Yeah. And what do you think that tourists and foreigners can do to help people in Cambodia?
Oh, it's a good question. I'm really thankful for the tourists who's come to visit Cambodia, besides Battambang also. Why? Because besides of agricultural tourism, is the second thing big important for the people living in Cambodia. That never try, never low. Yeah. Example like the hotel. Have a lot of people come to work, so it's provide a good thing to the hotel, and the hotel hire the people, like employ the people to work for them, so the money is cycle. Yeah, it's cycle. Like I got the money from the tourists, I buy something from the people, the people got it to do everything more and more. So I'm really thankful and big thing for the tourists who come to visit Cambodia, because it provides a lot of good things. Besides of the job, it's money and like the knowledge, education, because we get more education from different people living around the world. We meet a lot of them, we know about the culture, we learn a lot of the culture, and we share the culture to each other. So that is, I want to say thank you to the tourists who come to visit Cambodia. Because sometimes they don't give me a job, like I took them from the bus station and they said, no, I'm already booking another guy. I'm still smiling to them because I think that my friend, the people living in Cambodia got a job from the tourists to do also, not only me.
And that is amazing.
Yeah.
So people that come from Christian or Catholic countries.
Yeah.
Like I do, if I can call New Zealand, Australia, and England. Catholic
America,
countries.
Or something like that.
People think about themselves there. They don't think about others.
No,
you know, not as much, you know, it is noticeable to me.
Yeah,
and I think if you go to England, and one day you probably will, then you would notice that.
Yeah.
Not so much smiling, not so much looking the people around you, and not so much the family together, partly because it's colder. it's different. The family is smaller. The family looks after. Maybe the parents don't see the children so often. People work hard. They go to big cities. They travel a long way to get to work. It is different. Okay. But we went to the circus today.
Yeah.
What's the name of the circus?
Pha Quân Lư Salapa.
Yeah, and Pha, that's right.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's a basically a school
for
art and visual art.
They make a thriving activity to make the people happy and come to visit them as the nation, because a lot of the people who's working in Pha, normally they are important guy, no family, no parent, a single light, often. You can say like orphan children, right?
Orphan children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and what happened during Khmer Rouge? What happened to all the people that made art or music or?
Okay. So for the people who get knowledge of art, music, they rarely to be killed, because that is a kind of activity that not relative with the knowledge, like teacher, most of them being killed, like government officer was killed, like lawyer, teacher, nurse must be killed.
So basically
for the driver it's okay, for the artist it's okay, they can live also. I mean, the Khmer Rouge kill only the people who knowledgeable, who smart, who used to work for the government or the king before.
So we basically have a country that in a 30-year period,
Most
of the educated people were killed or had to leave.
Were killed.
And some went to Thailand, right?
And other places. No. At the time, no one could live to Thailand because a lot of Khmer Rouge army.
I get confused with the fall of the Khmer Empire. That was when some people went to Thailand to Siam. So going into the school today and watching the circus, these are young people, right?
Young people. Maybe they are the young teenagers.
Maybe 12 to 15. And what was really noticeable to me is how the Cambodian way, the community spirit, how that translated into the circus. And when someone jumps up in the air and does a flip, and someone else has to catch them, they just automatically were there, because you can see it's part of the culture. They're always looking to see if somebody needs a help. And sometimes they would lose their balance, or they might fall, it's not planned. But somebody else was thinking about them and stepped in and caught them. And it looks like it's part of the act. But culturally, it's obvious that the community just is very good at community activities. And I just wish and hope that the school's been going for 20 years, right?
Yes.
But become bigger. I just hope that more people will come and see the circus, because
hopefully
they are so talented. To me, it was the same sort of level and impact as Cirque du Soleil.
Yes.
Right. I know that Cirque du Soleil are adults, I know they're professionals, I know they have all the best sound and lighting and training, and they've been doing it for years. These guys are like young teenagers. And it was a standing ovation.
Yes.
Amazing. And you say that a lot of them were orphans.
Because they support by the far. So circus is their job. So they have to do it to the best to attract the tourists to see more and more. It's as your, like, it's as their donation to support them as well. And some of them luckily were taken to France, to Spain, to show a deer, get more money, get back home to support their family also. Yeah, I mean, it's the soul is thriving and talented.
Talented.
Yeah, but it's dangerously. If you have the money, if you are a rich children, you might not do that.
Yeah.
Because they are abundant children. So they need the money and they want to grateful for the organization who support them. That's why they had to try it to the best. Seeing a little boy, a girl, until 2 or 3 years they get professional of act.
They become a professional circus performer.
And
they also did the lighting and they did the music.
The music, you know, it's all
and the dancing,
everything going together, like a teamwork. best one.
And it was not, I mean, I come from New Zealand, and and the Māori people, the indigenous people of New Zealand, are wheeled out as the cultural performance for people. And sometimes it's beautiful and meaningful, and it's on a marae, and it means something. But sometimes it's in a hotel, and it's not very meaningful. It's quite fake, and it's a little bit forced, and I feel a little bit embarrassed that the Māori culture is not being fully respected. But this was completely different to that. This was real, you know? And that's the thing that really struck me about Cambodia, is we went through the village and we met some people that were making dry fish or making or cooking bananas on hot coals or making coffee, and all of them were just hard-working,
And
kind people.
And friendly to the tourists who come to visit them. Even though you see without nothing, no payment or no donation to them, they also feeling happy to see the tourists come to watch them. Because Cambodia culture is smiling, happy for someone who come to see them, even though they get nothing from them.
So what do you think the world could learn from Cambodia?
So the first thing that I hope the world can learn from the Cambodia is please smiling to each other. Please smiling, because if you're looking to each other seriously, you might not happy. Even though you walk, you working, you traveling. So it's not good. So smiling is the best way to share the happiness to each other. And the second is that, so please believe on karma. You will get what you do. In Cambodia, like, the people mostly, they spend a lot of money to help the poor people to build a temple. And because they hope that in future they're gonna get it back when they reincarnate. Or
when they reincarnate,
or reborn, mean that, or in the future, because you are rich today, not sure in the future you're still rich, So the people like to share each other and to help what they can, Because, example, like a man get the gift from the people, and to share to the homeless guy who know how to stay, they can come to stay in the temple. Like the student could not afford for the studying and no money to pay for the room, they can come to ask the man to stay with, but they have to serve for the man. They have to get up early in the morning to
help them.
Yeah, to help them. Like beside of that, for the animal, you know, if you don't want to adopt them anymore, you can leave it to the temple and the man will look after you.
We saw that. We saw there were four or five, maybe six dogs running around.
Yes, that is a call.
And they barked at us and said in dog, I imagine, this is my property. And the monk just looked really calm. And I was like, what are these dogs doing here? So they are dogs that have been adopted by the monks.
Yeah. And the third one is respect the people and believe something that make the people happy or going together. I mean, like I'm Buddhist. Even though I meet another people come from another religion, like Muslim, like Christian, like Catholic, but I'm still happy and I still want to make friends with them, because we are human. We have to respect each other. Say no to another religion is the bad word. Because we was born different country. We was born different family. So unless we help each other in the good way to make someone happy, and no violence for the religion is the best for the people living in Cambodia.
Well said. And just to finish, what can people do in Battambang?
So a lot of things for the people can do in Battambang. For someone who want to visit, they can go to visit the countryside with the local people life living along the way, along the riverside, along the countryside. We call another word is rural tour.
The rural tour.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And you can see people making things like
bamboo sticky rice.
So what is the bamboo train? Explain that to people, because that's
super cool.
The
bamboo train is the train making from the bamboo. That we call another verb is flying bat.
The flying bat.
Yeah, on the railway. Then we get it from the Khmer Rouge as well. Why I say like this? Because before the war, we don't have bamboo train. Because some part of the railway, like the train, was destroyed by the Khmer Rouge. So the government, after they liberate the Khmer people from the Khmer Rouge, they used the bamboo train to fix the railway, to lead the army to the battlefield to fight with the Khmer Rouge. Uh-huh. So after we finished the war, the people decided to buy it from the government soldier, because they can use it instead of the truck. They can take something heavy like wood, rice, people, animal from the village to another village.
And how does it work? Business. What is the power for that?
The power, the first short period, they use the stick to push it to make a travel from the village to another village. But as modern technologies come, the people have the money to buy the
motorbike
engine, yeah, to connect with the wheel of the bamboo train and to run on the railway and fastly about.
That's quite fast.
Yeah, about I think at least 50 km per hour.
Yeah. Okay, so we have the bamboo train and what else?
Yes, and then we've got a back hill as well. They're about like 10 million baht, 3 miles from the cave at the evening, about 5:30 after the sunset time, about 1.5 hours to the right field, to the lake, to the riverside, to different directions. And they get back before the sunrise.
And that was a pretty amazing thing to see. And what else is also in that area with the back cave?
Yes.
You've also got the temple?
Yeah, the golden temple on the top. And the Hindu temple that was built in 11th century that we call Badon Temple. And it's very high in night landscape by the walking up about 368 steps, something like this.
And then also the killing cave.
At killing cave, we've got a killing field that related with the Khmer Rouge that remind the bone from the people working during the time.
Which is an important thing to visit, because I think it's important for people to understand how important it is that we don't let these sorts of things happen again. And as a city, I didn't expect it to be full of cafes and amazing food. I love Khmer food.
Yeah.
Especially lok lak beef and fish and mock and sweet and sour fish. The mushrooms with oyster sauce.
Yes, absolutely.
What's your favorite dish?
My favorite food is like curry, lok lak, and amok. I really like that one.
And can you explain what amok is to people who don't know?
Oh, amok is the Khmer traditional food. The people like to eat it with for lunch and for dinner as well. And the amok is the food that the people make it with the fish and a lot of ingredient that spicy. But
not as spicy as Thai food.
No, we don't use chili. We use like long pepper, galangal, ginger, garlic. Yes, something
lemon
like
grass.
This. Yeah, lemon grass and like orange leaf or a lot of things to make the amok ingredient. And they got money stuff to make it as well.
It takes a long time.
It takes a long time, about, I think, at least 25 minutes to cook it.
But yeah, it's delicious.
If it's longer than loklak. Loklak, easy to eat, easy to cook.
Yeah. And what is loklak?
Loklak, mostly the people make it with the beef and got the fresh vegetable like tomato, salad, something like this, and with a like egg of chicken or duck.
Yeah.
And got the rice to make more tasty.
Yeah.
With the white rice, like steamed rice.
So more, don't expect to lose any weight in Cambodia. Yes, no, but you will be very happy.
Come to taste it. Not expensive.
Yeah. Okay. So where can people find you?
So thank you for your question. So the people who want to find me, please come to Battambang, the latest city after Phnom Penh in Cambodia. So
the second largest city.
Yeah, yeah, yes. And you can come to find me easily at Royal Hotel. Yeah, it's in the downtown of the city.
And we're
close near the market.
Yep.
That we call Central Market. And easily I work here, so they can find me anytime. Because everybody who work in Royal Hotel, they know each other and they are friendly. Don't worry about your question.
Thank you.
Yes.
Uncle.
Thank you. Okay. Uncle Chuan. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Yes,
thank you.
I'm really glad.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Yes, thank you.
All right, folks. Plan a trip to Cambodia.
Cambodia, yeah, Cambodia. Khmer.
It's totally worth it.
Khmer is passion. Khmer is happiness. Khmer is like peaceful. Khmer is sharing everything related what they have.
It's an amazing place and can teach us all so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in. You know how to subscribe, and I look forward to sharing the next episode with you soon.